Hi, everybody.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Morning, or afternoon,
morning,
or evening.
Yes, depending on what time zone you happen to find yourself in. Well, how are things doing? So it's great to be back again with everyone. And we've been getting some really good feedback from this seminar so far. And would anybody like to share something that's going on or start with questions? Whatever you'd like to talk about, let's just kind of open it up. There's some things I want to cover today, but I'd love to hear from you folks. So raise your hand if you'd like to start the conversation. So, Devin, do you have any news or anything you'd like to talk about? Any announcements?
No, actually. Everything is smooth on the technical side of things. I know that we put up the replays, so everybody should have gotten the email with the link for the replays. And there should be two parts to Saturday's class and then one part for Sunday. So there should be three recordings that are up there. We managed to only put two up the first time around.
Actually,
so FYI,
it was a weird technical glitch that occurred. What happened was I had transferred them all to an MP3 format, edited them, and then gave them back to Jennifer in her Dropbox, and I gave them a new name. But for some weird reason, Dropbox was not acknowledging the new name. So Jennifer thought she had only gotten two of them. But all three were edited, but so, you know, it was just a little confusing tech glitch until we got that straightened out last night.
It was a Mercury retrograde thing.
Yeah, definitely one of
those
Mercury retrograde things.
Because there's always something technical that happens.
Isn't that weird how that seems to happen so consistently? Maybe we just don't notice it the rest of the time.
Not so much.
Not so much. Okay. So there are a few things I wanted to cover today that I think are really useful in terms of self-created health as well. And one of them has to do with one of the other values of self-created health that we've never really talked about, which is that in the process of being more honest with yourself, it is a way of really earning love for yourself. And of course, self-love is one of the natural things that flows from doing the self-created health work. I mean, that's completely obvious. Anybody who's walked through the seven steps of the process. But when you look at how people earn love for themselves, it's through their own internal honesty, their integrity, the self-responsibility, and the self-trust they're able to access. And quantum and the self-created health all by itself accesses people's deeper level of self-honesty, deeper level of integrity, responsibility, and trust. And in doing so, you really are earning love from yourself. Now, self-love is an automatic thing. Every infant, every child, everyone automatically loves themselves, but through societal conditioning and abuse and whatever shame and other issues that happen, we don't feel that for ourselves. And culturally, mom's love has always been considered like automatic. You automatically get mom's love, but you know, in terms of a culture, dad's love has to be earned. You have to gain his love. And you see lots of movies that have that theme where at the end of the movie, dad says, oh, isn't it great that you became a singer or a football star, whatever it is that he didn't approve of, or an artist or something. And then you earn dad's love, and that's the highlight of the movie where dad finally realizes that you're a great kid even though he didn't do what he thought you should be doing. So internally based self-esteem is love for yourself that can never be taken away. And the whole self-created health process is one that really builds onto that. So there's a few other topics I want to talk about, but I'd like to hear from you about your experiences this week working with the self-created health process. So if anybody'd like to share anything, please do so now. It could be questions or successes or anything else.
Press 1 on your keypad.
Yeah.
To raise your hand. Okay, we have Christian.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Richard.
Yes.
First of all, thank you for giving us this this process, because it's really well done and extremely efficient, I would say. It gave me peace in a space in the past that was really unpeaceful. So
yeah.
This is amazing, because I really feel more calm when I look back to this situation, because I changed the past. So that was really important for me to experience, and just wanted to thank you for this outside you gave us. So
yeah, thank you so much. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have any precise questions.
Okay.
Maybe regarding the when I went through the meditation, there was some new things that came out, because I was going back in the past that I didn't wanted to go for sure, because it was hurtful and everything, and then there was some new point to visit. So I think the better this is the question. I think the better way is to note or remember to go there maybe another time, or because I couldn't cover all the topics that I found at that moment, you know.
Well, you know, we're dealing with your whole life, and the idea
exactly.
that you're not going to cover it in 1 week is pretty clear.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's fabulous to for me, what was fabulous is to be able to go back without fear, because
yeah.
I knew that there was this process that I can go and yeah. This is
yes.
important for me.
So often people don't want to revisit the past because they just feel like it's a minefield. If they enter that realm, they're just going to revitalize those painful memories and make them worse. Because there actually is brain research that shows that the more frequently you visit a memory, the more you are likely to change that memory, and the more vivid that memory becomes in your life. And so you tend to identify more with that memory. And that's why there are many people who say, oh, don't open up the past anymore, just let the past go. And I'm a big fan of that if the past feels good. But if the past doesn't feel good, then people end up dragging it along, kind of like, like a shadow that kind of keeps following you everywhere. And in that becomes a burden. And then you are bringing it into the moment. It's no longer the past, because it continues with you. Or as I mentioned before, the book title that said, we bury our emotions alive. You know, and so even though they seem to be buried, they're still active. And that's why we notice how much more peace we feel when we finish the experience. This is one of the reasons why you see people creating the same kind of relationships over and over again, because they haven't finished that emotional process, and they must continue that process until it gets finished, because that's the agreement they made with their higher consciousness. In fact, when I was doing research years ago on self-created health, I found out that people will actually break the same leg or arm over and over and over again in various different kinds of ways. It's very common for a person to have the same injury over and over again. And that is a relatively common phenomena. And so it's because their higher self is trying to help them get the message repeatedly. And if you don't get it the first time, well, maybe it'll come through another time, and another, and another, and another. So these are things that happen. So by having a concise way of going in and processing and releasing these emotions, it gives us that confidence that, I can just go in, do the surgery, come out the other side, feel better about it, and then I don't have to revisit it unless for some other reason I want to. So, yes, you make some very good points there.
Okay, thank you, Christian.
Okay. Thank you.
And let's hear from Susan.
Hi, good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Well, last week when I did my work, I was feeling so great, right? My left wrist, my left hand was going numb. My left wrist was hurting me. Makes it a real problem when you're a massage therapist doing 18 massages.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, I did the emotional work. I felt the shift. I felt so much better. But what I found out is this process can be layered. There's layering that happens. And even though I felt great self-esteem and freedom and excitement, after about 3 or 4 days, the wrist started to get stiff again and started to have some symptoms. And so you said to do another process this week if we could, and so I decided to go a little deeper into that and realized, and I don't want to tell you my whole story, but my brother is involved in this and his wife. And his wife was the one I was mad at, but I worked through that and did my letter. But my brother was a key person that I was still feeling something that I was still not letting myself see. Or anyways, I went through that process again this morning, and I wrote the letter, and I hid the letter to my brother. But also, what I found was it goes way back into my childhood and into my relationships with my parents and with my siblings. And this has come up for me to look at because my mom has Alzheimer's and she's drastically dying now. I mean, she's starting to die. And so I found myself feeling burdened. It's interesting that you say the word burdened.
Right.
I'm carrying a burden now in present time. And I don't want to feel like I'm carrying a burden. I want to feel like I'm helping. But I felt that burden. And being a massage therapist, I know the left side of the body, it has to do with feminine issues and family usually and relationships and things like that. And so it's my left side that keeps getting hurt and keeps getting problems and stopped and stuff. Well, anyways, I did the session this morning, and I've been so lucky that my husband's been so supportive in helping me with it. But I got to a place where I felt I cried about the little Susie that was the oldest child that took care of everyone, was responsible for everyone, and never got held, never got to be a child, never got to play, never got to be who I am. And you know, feel those feelings was incredible. I'm still feeling some of that. And then to take care of myself through this process has been, I would tell my husband, I think it's a heavenly download to Richard that he's sharing with everyone so that we can heal. And anyways, my hand came back to normal so I can go to work this afternoon. But you know, I just feel like, I don't know if we covered it before when we were just getting into this, but it can be layered and it can be connecting to people that are really key people in your life and relationships that old stuff that I couldn't do, I can do now. Old stuff that I couldn't feel then, I could feel now. And because of these questions, it doesn't let you get away with mentally water skiing on the surface or intellectualizing anything.
Exactly. Boy, that sounds like a quote we can use. Listen, that was fabulous, and you bring out some wonderful, important points. Because you were able to access the emotions on, you know, last week, and your symptoms went away for a while, that was your higher self saying to you, see, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
This is successful. This is the right thing. Now, you still have more work to do, of course, and then the symptoms start coming back. But I would guess, and just a guess, the symptoms weren't quite as bad as they were originally.
No, they were back somewhat.
They were back enough to say, no, you've got more work to do, but not so much to say that you haven't made progress.
Exactly.
So it's so interesting. It's kind of like, you know, the world has always said, well, you know, I have no manual on how to live my life. You know, you just get born and you don't know anything, and you try to figure stuff out and you mess up all the time. But this is kind of like a manual, in a sense, of how to understand what the reality is telling us. It's a guidebook of saying, oh, so this is how the higher self communicates to us. It communicates through the symptoms of the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it comes in, that you see the pattern, and the pattern is, oh, you get the big symptom, and you do the emotional process, and it goes away. And then it says, ah, oh, but you're not quite done yet, so let's go deeper. And it was great about the idea of, you know, we can't just go water skiing on the surface. I have one friend who has some really powerful emotional issues that she's not dealing with. And she says stuff to me like, well, I know that this is just, you know, blah, 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 some kind of surface. You know, this is just my way of knowing that I'm really a perfect being, and just these fluffy things that you know, I know that this is just a lesson for me to know that I can rise above. And, you know, it's just all surface, new agey, you know, crapola. And it's sweet and it's nice, but it doesn't really get to the deeper issues. And you're right, this process doesn't allow you to live that, you know, well, the reason I got a cold is just because I've been working too hard kind of, you know, generalizations or rationalizations, I mean. So people just rationalize and say, oh, yeah, that's why it happened, and some flimsy little excuse. But that's not why. It's all those tears that never got expressed, was probably more likely to be the cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me want to help my sisters and my brother somehow. But I have a feeling that if I do this, as I continue to do this work, mm-hmm. that it shifts me into a place of great strength. And as it's shifting me into this place of great strength, and I'm not as reactionary, I'm not defensive, I'm really more at peace, and I have a kind of energy that radiates that now. And I really think that the core of healing is self-esteem, of having that self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And that once we have, I've got to have a taste of that now. I understand now.
Yeah.
And I get that. And one thought that came through my mind this morning was, because I've done a lot of group therapy, a lot of therapy. I had a wonderful, inspired therapist who's helped me for years. I haven't been back to see him or done group for about 5 years. But
yeah.
I think back and I think, oh, my gosh, that was just the surface stuff.
Yeah.
That was just, you know, that was a lot of good work. But that wasn't it. My whole life, I guess our whole lives, we're doing this work.
You know, back in 1971 and 72, I was in a group therapy situation. Actually, 70 and 71, I was doing group therapy. And it was very cathartic, but nobody ever changed.
Exactly. Nothing changes.
And the reason we didn't change is because it was, you. First off, you got rewarded for having problems, because now everybody would listen to you and they'd, you know, give you a lot of support for your problems. So it really encouraged people having problems. And the second thing was that it even though the catharsis was very deep and very profound, they never went through steps 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so what can change? There was no responsibility. There was no insight. There was no remorse. There's no forgiveness. So it didn't go through the rest of the steps. And the more I look at it, the more confident I become that psychotherapy of the future has to include these 7 steps.
Mm-hmm.
And you look around at all the different things that are being, from Sedona Method to Byron Katie to Ho'oponopono and on, and you see, there's some really good elements in these things, but why aren't they just finishing the process? Why? Mm. And the first big answer is because they don't know how to find the emotional cause. That's the first big answer.
Mm.
And then the second big answer is a lot of them are really afraid of the intensity of the emotion. And I think NLP is a prime example where there's tremendous fear of experiencing real emotion.
Mm.
Because let's just manipulate you. Let's just take this memory and push it off to some distant direction so you don't have to think about it anymore. But it's still there. And so that's a real avoidance of responsibility on a profound level. Not to say that there aren't some very useful tools. All of these things have great tools, but they miss the point.
Well, the great truth that you've referred to before, that the author's name is Carol Truman, and she lives here in St. George,
mm-hmm.
who wrote the book, Feelings Buried Alive Never Die.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one you keep referring to, because that is the truth that they don't die. They're
yeah.
buried alive.
Yeah.
And but she doesn't even go far enough to explain. Well, then how do you
yeah.
get to light, right?
Exactly. And Louise Hay in her book, where she has these cookie cutter cutout answers that your knee pain means, you're angry at your father, whatever it says. It's just silly. And then she gives an affirmation. So it's like putting, frosting on poo-poo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Devin is shaking her head going, oh, God, Richard, you didn't say that, did you?
Well, it's true.
Yeah, it's just putting, frosting on dog poo. So it's not really dealing with the issue. And by the way, I wanted to mention at the beginning of the call that that this is your time to wrestle with, to take deeper understandings, to celebrate, to understand what it is we've covered, because I want this whole method to be your own, that you can own it and have it be yours. And so this is your time. So Susan, was there anything else you wanted to share or talk about? This is really good.
No, just to help everyone in the class realize it's ongoing and it's layered.
Yeah.
And that it, and it's good to take a break and rest and feel the feeling of freedom and self-esteem, of the feeling that I can do anything is really deep within me right now. And it's colored my whole week and everything I've done, everyone I've spoken with, and it's been amazing. But then when that risk kept coming back up again, I was like, oh no, I gotta go do some more. So
I know.
And I didn't want to do it. I just was like, oh no.
I know, it's always that way. It doesn't get much better for me. My friend Kirk, I mentioned him before with his allergy thing. He got to the point where when his allergies would start coming back, 20% of what they had been before, he'd say, oh, great, now I'm going to get to love myself even more than I ever have before, because he's going to find something else inside there, something else to deal with and process that he hadn't, covered before. So
yeah, and there's a tendency is to just put it off and go, oh, I got to sit down and dedicate some time and do this. And it's almost like, okay, so am I going to be in pain now, or am I going to take care of this now? And
yeah.
So you got to think about what you really want to do, and then just commit to it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, congratulations. Right. This is very inspiring. And if you ever feel inspired to you know, write up not the specifics of your story, but, you know, how the symptoms started coming back, and then you were able to go in even deeper and find out how all the layers that were inside there and have your symptoms disappear even more profoundly than before, and but all the other benefits that happened to you. We'd love to be able to share that with other people who might be interested in studying this work. And we noticed that, you know, we never expected self-created health to catch on like quantum touch, in the sense that it just takes so much more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd really like to get it out there to all the people who would resonate with it.
Yeah, I will. I have a plan to do that. I also think that it's actually the right time to write it all down until I actually move completely through this process to a place where I have all these realizations. But I am committed to sending you a couple of paragraphs.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. And, you know, whenever it's the right time, it's fine. But you may never be fully through it, because life goes on, and there's deeper and deeper levels of things to always explore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, Richard. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, let's hear from Tamara. You there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here. I've had a lot of problems getting on the course and getting the second part of last Sunday. So I only got that about 5 minutes before the course started today. I only listened to the first part of last Saturday. I read the paperwork, I have a few questions. The
sure.
first is, I think I'm imagining that what originally happened to me must have happened when I was a baby. I have no recollection of what it is, but from work I've done on myself mm-hmm. and other situations, it has to have been from when I was very, very, very young. So I have no idea what happened. I think I can imagine what it was, but does it work if it may not even be true, or maybe it is, or maybe it's just imagined? Will the process still work?
You know, I would say that it would be worth a try to, you know, I'm just getting a hit that this is true as I'm beginning to say it, that it would be worth a try to make up a story, knowing that it's probably not exactly right, and then process it as if it were true, and notice how deep the emotions impact you, and you may get realizations about what actually was true. In other words, if I was beaten or raped or something terrible had happened to me, maybe I don't know the exact images to bring to mind, but I have a general sense that something really tragic had happened to me, then if I play through the experience as if it had actually happened in a meditation and do the process, you might tap into this massive well of energy and emotion that's down there that might actually inform you of the real story. It's worth mm-hmm. a try. It's worth a try. Now, I'd love to hear back, because I'm just making that up as I'm talking, but I'm getting an intuitive hit that it could well be true.
Okay. The reason I think is because other similar situations happened afterwards, and I know it happened. Something must have happened beforehand, because it wasn't. Anyway,
so you know
you know
the theme.
Yes.
Now, so go back and make up a story around that theme that seems as true as it could be, and play it through when you were, say, pre-verbal, before you could speak. And then go into the meditation and ask your higher self to help guide you in this meditation. And I bet you're going to tap into a major resource or well of emotion that can come out like a geyser. And and then you can work with that. Because you ask for the pre-verbal stuff and just go in a meditation and play out an event that may or may not have happened pre-verbally, and see if it taps into a deep well of emotion.
Okay. Also, you said it doesn't work if you say it to yourself. So when I was listening, if you do the process with yourself, you need somebody else. But when I was listening to you talk and ask the questions,
yes,
I wrote answer as if you were asking me. Does
Good.
It work the
yeah,
same?
Yeah, that'll work. Well, what changes? Yeah, that part's exactly the same. what works better for some strange reason is that when you're reflecting on the answers that somebody says, all right, was there a situation where you felt helpless? And you say, oh, yeah, or from X number of years ago where you felt totally helpless. And then they walk you through those big answers one by one. It really does connect you well with the situation. But you can do it to yourself, and I've done it with myself. It's just generally harder for people to begin.
When I did it with myself, I mean, a lot of it came out. I've done this process before, the first part of it, many times, but more things came out with the questions. And also just when I heard someone's comment, I said, oh, yeah, that's true too, which I didn't think about before, like that I was squashing down my emotions. What was it? I don't remember what somebody said. Suppressing my emotions. Yes. Oh, yeah, that too. So when I heard someone else say the word, I realized that it resonated with me. So I really felt that I got, I was able to express a lot, but it was me going back to say and the different emotions and not somebody else. So I don't know if I should do it again with somebody else.
You can try that. But once people get the knack of it, you can do it by yourself. Once you get the knack of it. At the beginning, it's a lot easier with another person. But once you get the knack, you can just go through it with yourself. And you should be able to make great progress.
Okay. Also, you said you shouldn't do, this is what I'm reading for this, I don't know if you talked about it yet, but that you shouldn't talk about anger towards yourself. You should talk about anger towards others first. But when I started to write down about anger towards others, anger towards myself came out at the same time. How do you separate between the two of them?
What I'm saying by that is the anger towards yourself may be huge, and that's fine. But when you do the processing, always start with the anger toward the others first. Because if you don't process out the anger toward the others first, it's like trying to swallow a pill the size of a basketball. You just can't swallow it. It's too big. Because if you're taking on the anger you have for other people and you're using that on yourself, because it's safer to just be angry at yourself, it's you're using too big a whip. It just hurts too much. And a lot of people beat themselves up forever because they never feel safe expressing anger toward others. So then they use too big a whip on whipping themselves into shape. And then they never are using an equal amount of compassion along with that whip, so that it ends up being very painful to express the anger ever. Because if you're taking all the anger you had for others and you're using it on yourself, then there's a lot of good reason not to want to ever deal with anger, isn't there? But you're just going to beat yourself up.
So it's okay if the anger towards yourself gets mixed up in the meantime, middle of it.
Just put it aside for now, and after you've released the anger toward the others, then when you deal with the anger at yourself, have an equal part of compassion for yourself. Yeah, I know I've been really hurt, and I am angry at myself because I've done these things, but be compassionate toward yourself while you're experiencing the anger toward yourself. Be gentle in other
words.
But
should it be at a different session? Redo it again?
I would say do it as a different issue. Start with the anger toward the others and release that. And then, this is part of the same theme, so I still have to work on it. And now let me look at the anger toward me. So take the anger as a two-step process. First, release it to the others, then release it to yourself, and then work through the insight and the remorse and the forgiveness.
Because when I was doing imagine the cartoon picture, it was me fighting with myself. So it's really hard for me to, that is like the biggest issue for myself, and I'm constantly fighting myself. And I have done many different kinds of techniques. I have done many different kinds of techniques, and usually they'll help for one time, and then it goes right back to the way I was before. It was like, things will help for a little bit, maybe a day, they go right back. So I feel like I'm constantly fighting myself.
But
fighting
when you,
myself.
When you think about it, the original anger that you can feel for yourself, who else was involved in that story?
It was my father. From what my mother told me, and I do say that in the imaginary scheme
or
whatever.
So process the anger toward dad. Process the anger toward mom. Process the anger toward the other people who help you to feel that way about yourself. Save yourself for last. That's the key. And then really deal with the anger toward yourself. And then go through the forgiveness, you know, the insight, remorse, and forgiveness. Yeah, I did this to myself. I have sabotaged myself. I have hurt myself. I have done these things to myself. I have punished myself. Yeah, that's all true. So go inside there and deal with that, but save it for last. First, take the courage to say, okay, who am I really upset about in the situation? Who's really the one?
Okay, I'm still because I did the first two parts of it, that whatever I could have done before I listened to the part, and I still didn't see any difference, but I guess you have to go through all the rest of the steps, I mean, the discovery and release I've done.
You got to go through, the insights and the remorse and the forgiveness to get through the other part of it, for sure. And that's all covered in that part you haven't gotten to yet. So I'm sorry about that. We had some technical issues.
It's a long process. Wouldn't it be easier to just do the quantum touch and you could do things to heal the back?
I wish it were true, but I think there's an issue of responsibility that our higher self wants us to know and deal with. So when the quantum touch fails, and it does fail sometimes, you know, like I mentioned before, the woman with a horrible sciatic pain, she'd stay up at night crying, the pain was so great. And I ran energy into her. It didn't fix the sciatica. We found the emotional cause. I gave her homework. She processed the emotion. Sciatica was gone, never came back. And sometimes our higher self says, this issue is too profound to just deal with emotion, deal with energy. And so we need to work with, you know, emotional levels to get to the bottom of it, because it's too important spiritually to bypass with energy. And so there is a time when quantum touch will break down, and it is not the answer to the question. The answer to the question is no. We need honesty and integrity and responsibility to dive in and heal what's there. That's the answer to the question. Now, quantum touch works most of the time, like 85-95% of the time, relieving symptoms. But sometimes that even isn't enough. And that's why I'm a big believer in being completely honest about when things work, when things don't work, and what else is needed. And if I find the next step beyond self-created health, you know, I'm going to talk about that too. You know, if I find something else that's even more useful or better, we're going to move on to that one. But these are the best things that I know now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And keep working.
Okay.
Okay, Devin, I'm not hearing you.
Does anybody else have anything they want to share? Your hand by pressing 1. Constantina.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Devin. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. It's morning to me because I work at night, so I sleep late, even though it's 1:42 in the afternoon here in Florida. But,
okay.
I had a great experience. I told you last time in the beginning, and I was able, you know, to go there and do the work. Although I got upset at the situation because there were so many other people that came, you know, into the situation, sitting in these chairs, and I was like, oh my goodness, now I'm, you know, I really have to deal with all of these people, because it wasn't obviously just one, you know, one time. And, you know, but I went through the process at that time, and I actually felt more connected to the process when I worked with myself. When I got to that point, and, you know, releasing all that I had carried, or that I felt, you know, from those situations myself, that, you know, inadequacies and unworthiness and not being good enough and all those things that I find particularly prominent in those of us that are in this work, right? Because we try so hard and are so hard on ourselves comparatively, you know, to people, because we feel that, you know, we want to help, and then we seem to maybe neglect going there ourselves. So I did it, and that night, you know, I still had a tiny bit of discomfort in my neck and spine, and the strange thing was, though, I did feel very, very good in the areas of self-worth, self-calmness, and peace. I didn't do any work in my house during the week. I wanted to just be outside, and I worked in the garden continuously, bought flowers, and, in other words, did more of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. In other words, created that self-love that people continuously say, oh, I don't have time for this or that.
Right.
And they work maybe as their way of receiving love instead of feeling love. And I don't know, I can't say if I do that 100%, but I did feel that I needed to take that time and just be. And so I did. And it was marvelous, very much at peace, and great energy. I stayed up even later than I usually do, which is awful because I work at night.
Yes.
And the clients that I had at night energetically, of course, since I was in a higher place frequency-wise, also felt better. I feel that they felt better quicker during their healing because kind of like Susan was saying, when you raise, the whole point is frequency, and of course love is the highest frequency, so this, the longer that we can radiate at that frequency, it's kind of like, I say, like the lady that sings and breaks the light bulb. You get to a point where if you can resonate long enough at a certain frequency, and this will get you there, this work will definitely get you to that place and allow you to hold it, then the light bulb bursts and it changes.
Yeah.
It changes the frequency of the light. And so I did feel that I was able to get there. And then a few days later, I did do a combination. First I do massage and then the energy work after. And I did feel that night, or the next day, because it was such a long session, I did feel the pain come back in a different way. It was in a way that it came back years before.
Mm.
I mean, it's a way that it is, in other words, you can have just normal, you know, discomfort, but this was more like radiating nerve pain. So
okay.
I feel that it was deeper. And I do get that once in a great, great while. You know, if I'm having to paint a ceiling or somewhere where you're using your arms, your head, you know, but it's not a continuous thing. And it was odd to me that that's what came back. And so it's deeper. You know, it said to me, okay, you know, I love you, but you need to go deeper.
Yeah.
If you want to solve this in this time. And so I can't say that I got to go there during the week, but I visited it periodically and spoke with myself. And even doing those little fragments that I did, I think because I retained, you know, part of the frequency that you have risen to, right? And that's why it takes many times, maybe.
Sure.
It did, because it didn't happen yesterday. And I noticed a difference in my energy overall, you know, and so I feel that there is progress if you look at the whole, you know, body, mind, and spirit thing. So that's me, and I'm kind of waiting to write a little more about that to you.
Yeah.
Another story I wanted to tell you was that my husband, for years, whenever we would, I guess you could say, have an argument, or to me it's just talking, let's talk about this. He can't go anywhere emotionally, and he was, you know, abused as a child and not able to speak up, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very open. So to talk about anything, I noticed at one point that whenever I would bring up a topic that was emotional or anything that he didn't maybe want to talk about, even though it wasn't a bad thing, it would be progress, his right eye would swell up. And he would all of a sudden create these extreme allergy symptoms with his nose running and all these other,
yeah,
you know, things. And I'm like, you know, every time we do that, you know, this defense mechanism comes up, so that then, you know, I have to say, oh, you have an allergy, oh, I'm sorry, go get the tissues, and we don't have to talk anymore. You
right.
See what I mean?
Sure.
And I was like, this is so frustrating. And so we did visit, you know, when did this first start happening?
Right.
And we realized that it was when he was confronted by his father. And his father was the one that did, you know, make him feel that he couldn't function, and, you know, in a sense, inner crying, you know, this whole area weeping. And so we went through some work with the, you know, that situation, and he has never had the allergy since.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, this was only one time.
Yeah, this is just so amazing. You know, I'm listening to themes today, and the theme that I'm hearing is, I made great progress the first time, and then the symptoms started coming back, and I realized,
sure,
I had to go deeper, and there's layers to this thing, and this is miraculous. That's, you know, it's what, this is a lifelong journey, and so what I've done is just simply write a simple guidebook to say, oh, here's how you navigate, and here's how your higher self is communicating with you. That's
right.
Basically what this is. It's just a simple guide on how to navigate the communication from your higher self and deal with the core emotions that we're not wanting to experience.
Right. Yeah, so I really thank you for clarifying that. That, you know, people sometimes expect, you know, oh, I'm going to, you know, get better, even in the other forms of work that we do, anything, you know, in one or two treatments. And it's almost impossible in this day and age with how complex and, you know, the lessons that we've chosen, I guess, to come here and learn.
Right.
My other question to you was,
sure,
I have a client tonight that actually asked me about going to some of these areas, and I wanted to use, you know, this sequence. This isn't,
mm-hmm,
this is very close to what I normally do, but it's, of course,
yeah,
not the exact same thing I do. So I wanted to go ahead and take her through this type of a sequence, because it seems that what she explained to me was very complex. And so I thought I would try doing this complete sequence with her, even,
mm-hmm,
if we had to do it in parts, like if she had to hang up and call me back or whatever,
yeah,
or if she wanted to do it privately, but the,
mm-hmm,
first part definitely with her. So when you do this with someone else, it all of a sudden occurred to me, you know, is that okay? Because we're giving them, in a sense, your notes. Are we then teaching,
yeah,
the task? Is that okay?
We're of mixed feelings about it. We're going to be creating,
yeah,
a self-created health certification program, so people can be like coaches,
right,
self-created,
yeah,
health coaches. But in the meantime, if you want to just casually use it with somebody or something, that's fine. And people may still want to take the workshop to get the depth of it. But I don't have any strong opinion yet, except that we're answering the questions about people becoming coaches, and we have some people who are already teaching self-created health as well. So we'd like to see that happen. Also, we haven't announced it publicly yet, but by the end of the year or early next year, we're probably going to have a website up and working called Quantum Touch Now. And what that will be is an opportunity for practitioners to be online, and people can just get a session right now. And they'll see the image of the person who wants to get the session right over Skype. They'll pay like, you know, $30 or something for a short session, like a 15-minute session. And they'll be able to access 24/7 around the world people who are online right now who are available to give them sessions. So maybe
that's
we'll have something
that
like that.
That I would love. Yeah, I would love it.
Maybe,
I teach at level one, and I'm just now going to the training to teach the level two. I've taken
fantastic.
All your courses.
Oh,
I've taken
good.
Everything. So now I'm looking to teach level two and self-created health, because technically I do it. I
yes,
just,
of course.
There was
I'm wondering
class, but,
if...
Sorry?
I was just wondering if at some point we might have self-created health now, so people could talk to a self-created health coach and
yes,
maybe 100%. book a couple hours of sessions so that they can work with the person ongoingly and help them get through to the other side of the issues. And that might be a really good thing as well.
Yeah, and I've also been talking to colleges in my area that actually are interested, because, you know, the Quantum Touch articles are available, a few of them, in the massage magazines, and
yeah.
I'm not so sure what other magazines. And so now we're offering it, you know, as CEUs, but I would like to offer it as part of the curriculum.
I would love to see that happen. And one of the things that I have to process myself is my frustration that I haven't been able to meet with scientists who will even look at what I'm doing. You know, like being able to align people in seconds is something that violates the assumptions of materiality of science, which is a fundamental assumption that everything has a physical mechanism that causes it to happen, and this is something that has no mechanism. So it would be like the biggest shift in belief in science, and I have to deal with this myself. Devin's not nodding her head, but she could be. That this is something that would change fundamental beliefs about reality in the world and show we were actually spiritual beings. And of course, when you're trying to do something that big, you're bound to have a lot of resistance, and that's what I'm kind of dealing with inside myself, is that level of resistance that I encounter in the world.
Well, I mean, I encounter that every day too, and I had to change the energy to that frequency that you know you are, because that's what will bring it to you. We will open up that situation, because now, you know, years ago, the other forms of energy work that we do, and I do all of them, were, of course, all poo-pooed. And now,
yeah, that's true.
You know, now, because we have thermography and the different types of, you know, seeable images, my thesis in school, which was on energy work, and doctors, you know, were, in a sense, poo-pooing me, now I brought the article in that showed double-blind studies from the Internet that what I do works. And now if you notice, so the main doctor I was working with put it on his website and said, hey, you know, this is for real. If you want, you know, help in this area, you know, contact Constantina. And so it is getting out there. And
almost in every
hospital now, there is pretty much every hospital Reiki and alternative health.
Yeah,
so why can't we go into these areas? You have to go into these areas and offer it. And,
this is fantastic.
You know, it will, when I go there and I offer it, then all of a sudden, you know, I think that they're, you know, they start asking you questions, and it opens up this whole other area, you know, and then I guess somebody would have to do, you know, you can offer at Strong Memorial Hospital, there are ongoing classes right now of one of the energy works that I do that makes yours look, you know, like it's a godsend. You know, the other energy work is a hand. No, it works. It works very well. But what I'm saying is it's called Tong Ren. And it's that, you know, it's a tapping on acupuncture meridians, which works very well. I use it very well. But when you pull out a doll and start tapping on it, you know, in front of people, that can be a little scary.
Well,
so,
I understand why it works. And it's a very exciting thing that you get like 100 people all tapping on a doll with a little hammer and all at the same time, but they're all putting their awareness there. They're all running energy and they don't know it. And they're using a ritual instead of bypassing the ritual. But listen, I'm very excited about the research you did. And if we can publish it on the Quantum Touch website, I'd love to do that, especially through newsletters and other things to, you know, promote
Well, what I meant was if they're having this kind of a class at Strong Memorial to teach Tong Ren, I meant was so they would definitely open to this if they allow people to do that. Because there's a whole community up there that does practice that form and realize it is a form of raising the frequency, and it does work because it is raising the frequency. But, you know, it's very repetitive, and you don't have to use a doll. You can do it just like we do this. So I think it's a, you know, your Quantum Touch would be, you know, those people that are instructors and those that do work in the field, you know, massage therapists and other people that can, you know, get out there, or even if you have a loved one that's there. That's how mine started, was a loved one in the hospital. And I did work and eliminate MRSA and all these things that people were like, they didn't believe it, and now they do. So,
thank you so
much. We're on the right track.
Send in any you know, images, articles, whatever you have, and we will spread the word, and maybe more people take it to hospitals too. Maybe I can go to some.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Richard.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Okay, Tamara's raising her hand. Go ahead, Tamara.
Yes, I didn't want to ask you before because I thought you only wanted to know about self-created help. But I have a question. I happen to be a physical therapist, and I had some patients with severe scoliosis, and I know that you've treated them, and I tried to get you to treat them, and I was told that you don't do that anymore. I live in Israel, and I tried on the internet to find some people who have worked with scoliosis. I tried people in Israel, and all of them said they really didn't get very good results with scoliosis. So if you're going to be doing something on the internet, that maybe you should do it, if you could put in people with specialties who have had success, especially with scoliosis, so that
these patients
who really do need it can get it.
Yes? Sometimes we see immediately results with scoliosis, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes the results last, and often they don't. Scoliosis is more mysterious, and I think that the combination of self-created health with the energy work might be much more effective. But I had a ridiculously successful result with scoliosis just this last week, where everything just shifted in seconds, at least in terms of straightening out her hips and her occipital ridge. Her occipital ridge was like an inch off between the high and low side of, and it just completely came back in seconds, and she can now do things she could never do before, and it was like miraculous. But that's 1 out of 50. So,
getting hooked up. How do I get my patients hooked up with somebody who has your success, or with you even?
Okay, so here's the thing. Let's connect with the office. Let's figure out a time we can do something over Skype, where you know, and then you as a physical therapist can measure somebody, and I'll spend some time and I'll work with them, and we'll see what happens, and you can document it, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, yes.
Okay, anybody else? Anything they want to share?
Yeah, this is your time. I really want people to, if you have any questions, you want to wrestle with the material or discuss any of the issues or things that aren't clear, that's why we created this extra time frame. And this, you know, a few other little things I'd like to talk about that I think are useful information to work with the material. One is that understanding negative ego is a very important piece of the puzzle. The negative ego part of our personality is that part that likes to feel either self-importance or self-pity. And sometimes it feels both simultaneously. Poor me, I'm the most important person and nobody appreciates me. It's a combination of self-importance and self-pity. But the better than, less than dialogue that happens inside people is really destructive. And when you see it in yourself, the self-importance is pretty easy to spot because you say, oh yeah, you know, this, I'm feeling better than these people or I have judgments and so forth. The self-pity is overt when somebody is coming from the poor me attitude. But it's more covert and destructive when it's disguised in the form of martyrhood. And this is in the notes about the qualities of martyrhood. And there's one that was left out of the notes that I'll mention. And so there are a number of qualities that everybody taps into from time to time. And the best thing to do when you find yourself tapped into any of these qualities of martyrhood is just stop it. There's no technique except make a decision and just do something different. The qualities of feeling, the silent suffering that ends up punishing the people in your reality are feeling misunderstood or unappreciated. That's one of them. Unfairly treated, overburdened, innocent of wrongdoing, helpless, hopeless, or the last one, angry at God. And these are the syndrome of a quality of martyrhood that allows people to punish other people without, in a very passive-aggressive kind of way. So when, if you think back to your own life of who hurt you the most in any situation, and then you realize, in retrospect, that the people who did the most emotional damage to you were always feeling martyred. They were the ones who were feeling misunderstood or unappreciated, unfairly treated, overburdened, innocent of wrongdoing, helpless, hopeless, angry at God. That's why they allowed themselves to behave that way, because that was the emotion that they were carrying around. And the message, the subconscious message that the self-pity ends up giving you is that your love wasn't good enough. Because no matter how much you love them, they'll give you the message that it wasn't good enough, that you didn't love them good enough, and it's your fault. So it's a very evil kind of thing, but everybody engages in it to a greater or lesser extent, at least from time to time. But some people just live in that vibration of that self-pity. And the martyr is the one who is silently suffering. And when you ask them, how are things, they'll say, oh, fantastic, they're great. And they look like a winner often on the outside. But inside, they're losing. They're really in pain, but they don't admit it. And this is a very destructive pattern. And it's insidious. And it's important to notice when you hear the alarm bells ringing or the red lights blinking, saying, oh my God, I heard myself say it. I'm feeling unappreciated. I'm misunderstood. I'm unfairly treated. You know, I'm overburdened and so forth. And then shift the vibration. Shift it inside yourself. Maybe there's some real anger that needs to be expressed. maybe there's some hurt that needs to be released, and so on. And you can actually take, why am I doing martyrhood right now? Why is this happening? Let me do self-created health to find the real issue. Why am I angry? What am I really angry about? Why am I expressing it this way, passively? Why don't I express it actively? Find out what the real issue is and release the intensity of those emotions and then move forward, rather than just stay in this vibration of suffering. So that's a very good little nugget of information you can listen to. And when it's on recording, if you want to hear that again and write all that stuff down, or it's also in the notes too, if you want to use it that way as well. So this is your time to see, my whole thought of putting together this workshop in this way was that a lot of time people don't feel complete with a workshop in the weekend that they took it. And then if they have a week to think about it, especially with material as challenging as this, they would have a week to come up with any last questions or problems or issues or concerns or anything else. And then I can give you that extra information that helps you through. So now you can own this work. And, you know, it really becomes your own and not just something that... I took that workshop, but then I forgot about it quite promptly afterwards. You know, this is something you can take with you the rest of your life. So if anybody else wants to talk about any issues or concerns or successes or anything else, this is your time to do it.
Richard, something that I thought about earlier when Susan was speaking about feeling powerful, and it kind of all ties together with writing things down.
Yeah.
You know, by taking the responsibility for those emotions, you take it back from, you know, being a victim of it. You know, you take it back, and then every time you take a piece of yourself back, you become more and more empowered.
Yes.
Which is probably why she's feeling so powerful right now. But the other thing is, and this is something that Karina Grant had said on an interview when we were asking her, you know, how she works with clients and stuff, and she was saying that she always takes that intake form of what your pain level is at the beginning, and then, you know, over a series of sessions, what your pain level, you know, goes down to. And she said she does that because what happens is when people stop feeling pain, they forget that they were even in pain, and they don't.
Yeah.
It's like the mind doesn't equate it with the quantum touch. So she likes to have it documented so she can see, you started at an 8, and now you're at a 2 or a 1 or a 0. And they can see it, and they make the correlation between the work. So even if you don't, you know, end up submitting a story for quantum touch or self-created health, writing it down for your own reflection to remember, you know, that you can step into this powerful place if you're, you know, if you're ever getting back to there, you're it's showing up in your life again and you want to clear it, you can document it so that you know where to go to in this time of, you know, struggle or, you know, again, however it shows up. But I think writing it down is important regardless if you submit it or not, is my point. Kind of rambling, but...
No, this is really good, Devin. And I think that this is something that you should write down, and we should include it in the notes for all quantum touch practitioners, instructors, and self-created health practitioners and instructors. And I've done this many times using quantum touch, and it's important that people actually have that record for themselves, especially from the practitioner. You know, say, okay, how much pain is there before we start the session? And then, you know, 30 minutes later and the pain's gone down 2/3, then they can remind the client, because it is too easy to forget. And the first time I ever experienced this, somebody brought me to a college, and I met this woman at the college who had this splitting migraine, the splitting headache, and she was complaining to everybody, just constantly about her headache. And so I said, okay, let's see what I can do. And I ran the energy. And then 8 minutes later, she said, well, I don't think I really had a headache. And then from then on, I've always had people acknowledge, well, how much pain from 1 to 10? But I think it should actually be more formalized than that. People should write it down, and it should be a clear thing that in the intake form that the practitioners and instructors and people are using for both self-created health and quantum touch, that we actually
right.
make it a part of the practice. Because that is a good point, because people do forget or they rationalize. And
I think the same thing happens when you take a workshop. So you've taken the quantum touch level 1 or 2, and then you've taken the self-created health, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's so simple. And I felt relief. And then a week goes by and you're like, yeah, that was cool. And then a couple weeks go by, your mind starts to rationalize it over time because you're further and further away from the experience. So the only way to kind of keep yourself connected to the experience is documentation of it, unless you do become a practitioner and you continue to have those experiences and live in those experiences. But for most people, they become more and more separated from it.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think this is a very good point that we should emphasize to all the people involved.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, I wonder where my self-created health notes are from the first time I did it. I'm sure I have them somewhere.
Yeah.
We're like, whoa.
It's such a revelation to realize that, years ago, I used to think that my emotions were stupid. And I would even say it to my friends, well, I feel like I have all these stupid emotions and I need to express them, but I feel stupid about it. And I would criticize myself so much for having my own feelings. And it was such a process with my friends saying, no, they're beautiful emotions. Let yourself feel them. And it was very sweet of them to, acknowledge me. I think I created this because I needed it so badly. That's really what it was that I needed the help so badly. And I couldn't find it anywhere, so I had to create it. And I think I'm creating new problems because I want to find new solutions. It's just ridiculous how that works. But I'm working on some, whole new processes and stuff like that. And I think maybe I put myself through unnecessary stuff so I can just learn about things and discover, because it's part of my giving back to the world is taking on stuff and then figuring out ways of solving those problems that I created. How silly
well,
is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that kind of makes it sounds silly, but it also makes a lot of sense. I mean, if that's your purpose in this lifetime, you've got to go through it to understand it, to create the method to get out of it. So, unfortunately, it makes sense.
I'm not looking at the screen. Are there any hands up now?
No.
Okay, well then I'll just tell the story. Years ago, when I was like a teenager, I had these repeating dreams, and the dream was that I was being chased. And sometimes they were very scary, and sometimes they were very exciting. But there would be a gorilla or a Nazi or I don't know whatever it was chasing me. It was all these terrible things, monsters. And then I finally, when I was like 15, I had the last chase dream of my life. Never happened again after I had this monumental dream. And the dream was that I was in a prison where there were millions and millions of people in this prison. It went on for like 100 miles. And I knew how to escape anytime I wanted to. But my desire was to find a way to help everybody escape. And so I would get out of the prison. And since I didn't know how to drive a car then, I'd be running across the countryside, and I was just, just moving really fast, just looking to figure out a way that I could help millions of people escape simultaneously. And it seemed absolutely impossible. There's no way that millions of people could escape at once, but I wasn't ever going to give up. And every so often I'd be captured in the stream and brought back in. It was no big deal because I knew I could just effortlessly escape anytime I wanted to. And then once I had that dream, for the very last time, I kind of got it. Well, that's what I'm doing in this life. I'm here to help people escape. And I know how to do it, but let me figure out how to help other people find that escape for themselves. And what is the escape? The entrapment of their own blockages, their own pain, their own negative ego, their own issues. So that's been my own mythology in this lifetime, my own private myth.
Does anybody have anything they want to share? Again, more questions about the material or anything?
Any insight?
Did anybody get through it during the week and rather than between Saturday and Sunday of last week? Maybe some new experiences came through? Nancy, are you there? Can you hear me, Richard?
I do.
Okay. Nancy, are you there? Maybe something's going on with her phone. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Okay. Anybody else?
Going once, going
not
twice.
Sure. Did we go through the internally based self-esteem?
Yeah, we've talked about the internally based self-esteem, which is based primarily on honesty, responsibility, trust, and integrity, but also has qualities of not hurting people consciously or unconsciously, and listening to the whispers. And the whisper of the reality is the symptom that you're getting. So the symptoms of your life, the symptoms of health, relationships, successes, and so forth, are whispers of the reality. And the adage is, if you learn to listen to the whispers of your reality, you don't have to hear the screams. And I think all of us have had experiences where weren't paying attention to the bad relationship or something that was going on, and it kept getting louder and louder and louder until it just hit a breaking point where it was creating emotional screaming in the space. And one of the cool things about self-created health is you can take it apart pretty early, very early many times, where you find out what the issue is, and then you can make the shifts necessary. Because from my larger perspective, this is not just self-created health, it's a self-created reality. And that's why the self-created health issues work for both health relationships and issues of success. So these are the three big arenas of our life. And if I was really ambitious, we'd create a book called Self-Created Success and Self-Created, everything else. But I think that the one book covers it all, because you can have a healthy wallet and you can have, a healthy relationship and you can have a healthy business and so forth. So it is health, but it's the broader definition of health. And that makes sense. Yeah, it's whole health. Mm-hmm. Spelled both with a W and the H.
Okay, let's hear from Nancy. Are you there now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
I do now, yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I did attempt to go through the process over and over again and struggled so much with it, tried so many other things to go through it, and finally something totally unrelated did release, but I'm not understanding it because it wasn't in the release didn't come from anything in the process that you taught. And so I want to talk about the struggle before that point, because I do want to go through it and I have tried to go through it.
Yeah.
And where I was stuck was the same thing you advised me to go and try, which is go and do the remorse and then the forgiveness and self-love. And I did.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, every time I went to the remorse, I would get to only self-chatter, mental chatter, like, oh, they're not going to think right about me or that kind of thing. And, oh, this is affecting me emotionally, so now I'm so stuck, I'm really not doing anything right.
Okay.
And
Let's break it down right there, because I think you've nailed it. You nailed what the problem was. The remorse is, it's slowed down, and it's like, yes, I did this to me. I kept myself from having this. And it's not a chatter thing. It's a deep felt emotional thing where you feel the responsibility of what you did. I hurt myself. You know, I did this to me. Now, you're taking what the other person had done to you. I like the, you know, the real simple example is rejection. You know, when I feel rejected, I reject myself, right? Yes, they rejected me. They hurt me. They ostracized me. They punished me. They did all this stuff. But then you realize, wow, I did this to me. I really did hurt myself this time. I punished myself. When I don't feel loved by them, I stop loving myself. I hurt me, and let that in. And it's very slow, and it's very deep, and it's really allowing yourself. It's not like beating yourself up. It's just taking in the truth about what I did to me. And
the trouble is that I had, before taking the class, I had gotten there about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks ahead of time.
Okay.
I was totally astonished that I had done that to myself. I didn't feel bad about that or remorse, because I just said, no, just stop. I'm going to stop beating myself, or at least punishing myself anymore. This is ridiculous. And so I did a number of behavioral changes and started to feel better.
Yeah,
I hadn't done the emotions because I hadn't taken the class. But so I wasn't, I just can't get to where I feel remorse. It just glosses over. There's a void there or something.
Okay. Go ahead.
I finally got where somebody had said something to me that was false. I had taken it as the gospel truth. And from then on, never treated my son correctly. I got mad at that and remorseful a little bit, but not, then that went away. So I'm having trouble feeling remorse and feeling other things, which I'll bring up later.
Okay. So, have you gone through the intensity of the release process?
That was easier, but still not. I couldn't do a lot of it. The release I did, I felt, it was, of all the things that I did, it was the best.
Okay,
but
good.
But it's still not huge.
Yeah. It's important to have a powerful release to be able to get to a powerful remorse. All the things work together. So, and then the insight, did that feel really straightforward and clear to you?
When I got it before, it did. But I could not get to do another one ever. And I wondered why, and in a meditative state asked for information, and it said remorse is similar to compassion. So looked it up and said, realized that remorse and compassion come from the same root in obsolete English. And so I took it upon myself to learn more about compassion, which then, when I can't get to remorse, I do compassion instead. That helps a little bit, but I don't feel like I'm... in other words, cut to the chase, there's still improvement no matter what, and I'm taking those little things as gratitude and saying, I've got layers, I've got to keep doing this, and not turn it into, at first it turned into, because I couldn't do a lot of those steps, I got identified with it. And I said, this is me, this is what I have to work on the rest of my life. And I went there for quite a bit and suddenly realized, no, it's just that I hadn't finished the step. The point is to learn the steps, I got to.
Okay, so here you are, you're not able to get into the depth of remorse. What happens when you try to do the forgiveness process?
I can't. I just know that I have to go to where God forgives no matter what. I can't.
Okay.
Was able to do, after the whole week, I was finally able to do, after this other release from someplace else, I was finally, which I don't understand, it was never explained, finally able to do I love you, go through the I'm sorry a little bit,
right.
and got some relief, but up until that point, I was just going deeper and deeper and deeper into, I'm identified with this, I'm this, you know, this way, and I just have lifetimes to unwind, of emotion to unwind. I'm stuck, I can't feel anything, I can't even feel my body. That's why I don't feel pain. And so I got myself sicker than I should have because I didn't know I was sick. I was not in pain. And so all this, I can't feel anything kind of thing just came up. And so I, and yet throughout it all, I have to say, huh, I'm walking a little better. So I have to take that as some progress.
Okay, so there is some progress happening.
Yeah.
Have you tried a different issue?
Yeah, I did. And the issue, it seemed like for instance, one that didn't have something that had a sharp pain to it, I tried the thyroid. And I said, oh, that just goes back to the same thing, where I didn't want to do anything because I was carrying other people's burdens, garbage, if I did. If I did come across as able, then I would carry other people's garbage no matter what. And so a lot of things that I can't feel, I'll go back to the same thing. It helps me to be not as able.
Okay.
And so I committed myself. Sometimes committing yourself will still work. You know, you'll still get some kind of a universal assistance if you just
sure.
commit. That's all, right? And I did that, and then I said, this is going to work. I'm so happy I found some process that works. I was really, really, really excited and happy. And then all of a sudden, my friend had an inspiration that what she has her own modality. She has an inspiration that everything fell into place for her, and not only is people that she's working with as clients, but her family, the world. She got all the way up to the world, where everybody feels abandoned, even those that were Ishmael was tossed out by Abraham. You know, just created all kinds of world religion and war conflict. And she said, that's what I need to work on. And I was so open that all of a sudden here I was carrying the world's garbage. And that just, you know, it was like, okay, you're committed, so let's see what you do with this now. You know, and I've been through that before. And I just had the hardest time. And I really needed something to change, and something did
yeah.
come, like I said, where I can see now what I need to do, how I need to get the process. But the thing that I'm most concerned about is not being able to feel my body enough to feel pain so that I know what to work on. I can't
yeah.
feel so many things. I almost wondered if I was one of those, if you believe in timelines or lifetime, you know, reincarnation, if I was a psychopath at one time, decided I was going to come back and not be one. Now I have, and over the years I have everything that, you know, what's more moral, what's the more moral decision, what's the more ethical decision, how can I be more ethical, has been a constant refrain in my life, you know.
Yeah.
I just always felt it would be better if I did. And so it's almost like I came back to not be one, but I still have the physical inabilities to empathize and things like that. So it's like learning how to do that, you know, picking up compassion and things like that. It's not, that would be a story that would explain it. I know the story.
Yeah, that's one way of holding it. I imagine that it might be really good for you to work with somebody else in the workshop and just to kind of walk you through the process, you know, just kind of walk through the different issues and just to take some time and be compassionate about the fact that you're having, you know, this difficulty. Because it is challenging, especially if you have a very hard time accessing the intensity of your own emotions. Sometimes I find that verbal expression of emotion just doesn't even work anymore. And the best thing I can do is, like in a meditation, just scream.
Mm.
Not screaming out loud, but just, just to feel the intensity without even language around it. Just to get into the gut reaction of how it feels to have this issue in the reality. And so I would suggest, let yourself have permission to just feel the intensity, even without language, even without words. Just let yourself be in the space of giving permission for the feelings to be stronger and stronger. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, you need to let yourself
feel. Oh, in other words, learn how to feel. Okay.
Yeah, just give yourself permission to feel intensity, even if it has no language. And that can open up the door for the language and the processes to work more effectively. So just let yourself have that full permission to let it in.
Huh, yeah, that is you nailed it. There's a permission issue. I had a lot of mental arguments about, is this right to do? It wasn't that, because I hadn't quite nailed it that much, but is it right to do so many things? That was the mental agony before I got any release. Is it right to do this? Is it right to that? Right. So it probably was based in not right to be emotional. So.
Yeah, let yourself have permission to feel it all, because that's really what it comes down to. And
you know,
so
I'm surprised that, because I used to be in one of those therapy things where you screamed and yelled, and I used to be in California, and that was where the group that I ran around, and you were allowed to scream and yell at each other as long as you didn't do it right before they had a production to do or some, you know, heavy duty work to do for other people. Mm-hmm. But as long as you just were venting and then they took it as venting, then it was okay. But I used to be able to do emotions all the time. I don't know what happened to me, so I can't. I'm just like locked up now.
Well, I think the word locked up may be very appropriate for what you're talking about. And that might even have a resonance to some things that have happened in your life, how you felt locked up at an earlier time.
Okay.
And that might be a big clue as to what the real issue is, because feeling so locked up, and now you've become the jailer.
Yeah, okay.
And that's where the remorse might go.
Okay.
Oh, my God, they locked me up, and now I've been locking me up. I'm keeping myself from feeling. They were my jailer before, but now I've become the jailer.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Because
a lot of it's like a network of all kinds of little things that could be addressed, and it's just like a movie of a whole bunch of things just showed up. So maybe.
Okay. Well, write them down.
Write down
the insights, because they're coming to you now.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, sure. Bye-bye. Ah, very good.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy, for sharing. And we have Marcella.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Devin.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. Very good. Thank you.
This is a brief comment. I did the whole process for a second time at the beginning of the week, and it was a lot more peaceful, or say not as intense as the first time, but it felt right and complete.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, I said to me, I'm going to let the rest of the week to see what happens if something different materializes in the present moment as a result of all this process, just as an experiment, as you said, or as a curiosity, or I don't know. I try to keep track of anything that happens. And actually, you know, I'm more peaceful. I feel good with myself. I don't get paralyzed when I'm on a difficult situation as I used to, which feels really good. But then you started to give the story about your dream.
Yeah.
And that clicked to myself. It was so funny. I used to dream when I was younger all the time. In my dreams, I used to go to one place to another. I just went flying, I fly there, here, and it felt so good. It felt so free, so powerful. I don't know. I don't know how to express it. And that stopped a long time ago, long, long time ago. And this week, and I didn't realize that until now, I started to fly again. So that is so amazing. I think I got my wings back.
Well, this is great. You know, you do the self-created health process. You release what's been holding you down, and then metaphorically, you start to fly again.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
So good. I feel like you gave me, or this process, I give it to you, of course, my freedom back, which is amazing. So I guess my process wasn't that hard as some people, but it is like magical. This works. So guys, if you have to do this over and over again, do it because it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah, that's really what it comes down to. And it's not the most fun work you've ever done.
No, no.
No one has ever accused self-created health of being, oh, this is the most fun workshop I've ever taken.
No, it's not fun, but at the end you get fun again.
Yeah, then you become fun. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful.
Okay, let's hear from Tamara.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
You already answered me.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh. It looks
okay,
like
good.
You raised your hand again. Sorry about that.
All right.
Kidding. Anybody else have anything they want to share?
Any questions? Any...
Or questions?
Discussions or anything. This is your time to really make the most of this class because, like I said, I wanted to express everything that was really crucial in the first day and then give you two more days to wrestle with it and to work with it. So this is your time.
Constantina.
Hi, yes.
Hi.
I did have a question and a comment. My comment is I'm not able to get online until probably tonight, so within the next week or two, if anyone does want to work more or needs help, I'd be open to working with anyone if they want to email me. And on the other hand, my question to you was sort of like what the last person was talking about, but I have a person that's not really able to cry.
Yeah.
Has never really been able to cry. And so when they're going, through the process and they're just so frustrated when they get to that point, I realize that the simplicity is more where I would work from, to say just instead of, bringing in this all these different areas and how complex it may be, just the simplicity of being in one time, in one situation, etc., and really absorbing that place and that time and whatever happened. But if the person isn't able to cry at that time, I'd like to hear your thoughts on maybe moving a little deeper there.
Let me share something that I think will resonate with you. Have you ever been in a situation where you were really upset about something and then somebody came in and said just the thing that was empathic, that touched the nerve? Sounds like you're really feeling blah, blah, and then all of a sudden you just burst out crying.
Sure.
Yeah. So what happens to a lot of people who don't let themselves cry is they're never letting themselves to feel exactly where that point is in their being. In other words, you can even see this occasionally with a certain movie or something that just touches a nerve, and you know, and the person who goes to the movie even feels tears coming to their eyes because it's speaking to that one nerve that just doesn't get accessed very often, and then they let themselves cry. So what we're really talking about is a person who doesn't want to have to feel the intensity of those emotions. If it's brought up to them in the right way, at the right time, and just nailing it, nailing what the issue is, and they go into the past, not the present, because the present, you know, they've got scar tissue over everything, and they're not going to let themselves feel very deeply. So it's not the 53-year-old man who I haven't cried in, you know, 50 years type of thing, but they go back to the 6-year-old child who was so deeply wounded, and surprising to them, the 6-year-old can cry quite well. And the 6-year-old starts crying in the meditation, and then for some strange reason, the 53-year-old man suddenly has tears in his eyes, and he's crying too. And that's how you can often open up the door to what otherwise appears to be completely locked down.
Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Good question.
Okay, Tamara, I see your hand raised again, but I'm not sure if that's on purpose or not.
Yes, I did raise it again because I didn't quite understand the part. I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand the part about if somebody feels martyrdom, which means like unappreciated, helpless, hopeless. I didn't quite understand what you're supposed to do with it.
Oh, you stop. You move
anywhere
into loving.
In the process?
You just stop that emotional structure. You move toward love and gratitude instead. You just realize that you're playing a game. That you're playing a game of helplessness.
But at this point, were you talking about during the discovery? Or
no, I'm not talking about the seven step process. I'm not talking about that at all. This is just how to deal with negative ego.
Oh, but if when you're doing the discovery you feel helpless or hopeless, you should talk about that?
Well, yeah, that's a whole different thing at that point. Then if you were helpless and hopeless, then now you're dealing with an issue. What is it that you feel helpless and hopeless about? Oh, I feel helpless about being able to get this job or being able to, you know, release this, you know, to have this relationship work, or helpless about my health issue. All right, let's deal with the health issue. Let's deal with the issue of the job. Let's deal with the relationship. Let's find the specifics. Don't try to fix the helpless hopeless, except just to move out of that. You see, as soon as you start working, you're no longer helpless and hopeless. You're actually doing something effective. Now let's do the investigative questions. What emotions do you feel because you don't get the job, right? What, you know, and, you know, what imaginary picture do you have of, you know, the wall that's keeping you from that? You know, it's just like, let's dive in and take responsibility now rather than just live in that helpless vibration.
So it's okay if it's part of the discovery when you're dealing with what it relationship to. It's not, but just a generalized feeling of helplessness or hopelessness.
Yeah, it's okay to feel everything while you're processing. It's just you don't want to live your life in that vibration. And then you don't want to punish other people in your life because you've allowed yourself to get into that syndrome.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Fantastic, yes.
Anybody else have any questions for Richard or...
Well, what do you think, Devin? Do you think we're kind of coming to the end of the time, not based on what it said in the advertisement, but based on what people actually have to talk about? I think we have another hand up.
Yeah, we do. We actually typically have quite a few more people on the call, and that takes up a lot of time. So
yeah, usually this day goes all the way to the end very effectively with lots of questions sometimes we end about 5 minutes early, but generally we can, it goes all the way through.
Okay, let's hear from Christian. Hi,
yes,
Christian.
Hello again.
Yes.
One question is, I went to the process again this week, and mm-hmm. As I told you, there was only one question, but I can imagine that I will go through it next week and the weeks after.
Yeah.
Because I do have a lot of issues to deal with, and then at that point, is there a way to ask you more questions by email or some or another way if I got stuck somewhere? Or for now, I feel that I wouldn't, but in any case, is there any possibility?
Well, we generally don't go there, but go ahead, send in your question if you need to. And but most people find that the information from this weekend is really complete and they can just move through it. Also, you could also work with other people in the group. So those who wanted to share their email information with each other, I think Devin already has a list that can be passed around. And usually other people in the group will be able to help you with any issues that you have. But if anything still beyond that comes up, please do write in. But it hasn't happened yet because people have found that the information is rather complete. And you will be able to use the work on yourself in a wide range of things and even help other people too.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
So
thank you very much.
Another resource, Christian, is the Self-Created Health group page on Facebook. I'm not sure if you're on Facebook or not, but we do have a separate group for Self-Created Health.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, it's an open group, but most people have done the workshop, so you can always post questions there if you want to connect. But again, yeah, I sent the emails out last week. If anybody wasn't on that list that would like to be, email me at practitioner@quantumtouch.com and let me know that you want that list, and I'll forward you those emails. But the other thing that I kind of have been experiencing as far as, you know, these workshops and some other, what am I trying to say? Basically, it's hard for us to get other people to reach out. Like, we have a desire for our community to connect with each other and stay connected, but it really, you got to kind of get past your own fears or insecurities around that in order to connect with people who have done this work or interested in this work, and that way you stay connected to this work and are surrounded by like-minded people. So that email list is there for you to utilize and hopefully make the most of it. So that's my spiel.
It's great. Yeah. Between the people on the call, the Self-Created Health group, and if anything beyond that comes up, go ahead and write in, but we haven't seen that happen.
Yeah, I mean, at practitioner@quantumtouch.com, I'm always going to get back to you. So just know that we're here, and yeah, you will always get a response one way or the other. So just feel supported that way as well. We have a couple more people. Constantina.
Hi, yeah, I had another question for you, or two questions, Richard. One, when you feel that your book on self-created health might come to fruition for us to see, and also, do you, or how do you feel about the connection between us and the extension of our animals and their issues, because I work a lot in that area and do work with the person's issues and resolve the animal issues most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, would you include something about that in your book? Or how do you feel about that?
I think it's a great idea. And I would also include something about working with infants in that
Correct.
Same section. And that what you would do is then you'd work on yourself. And I remember telling the story about the parents who had the autistic child,
right.
you know, pre-verbal.
Right.
And they worked on themselves, and the child got better. If you're very close to an animal, you could say, well, okay, what emotions am I feeling because this is happening, and what do I, you know, just all the questions you can come up with, and maybe find out what your issue is that they're expressing for you. This is the strangest thing
Correct.
In the world, but, you know, when you think about it, you know, this whole reality is magic, that the subatomic world, we can't even begin to fathom what's going on. I mean, it's almost all entirely space, and the part that isn't space is popping in and out of existence, and nobody knows where it goes, and it almost doesn't even have any existence whatsoever. And here we see our reality as being a mirror of unspoken emotion, and we've discovered that we have this energy that we can project, and it has a physical impact on these things that are barely even physical at all, called the physical world. And then you realize your emotions are having a direct correlation to what kind of events occur in your reality. It's all magic. And then you find out you can process your emotions, and your baby gets better, and you know, it's all this connected stuff. And when you extrapolate it out farther and farther and farther, you start to realize that, oh my God, it's a self-created reality. And that's really where it comes back to. It's a self-created life. And the more responsibility you take, the more magical the whole thing becomes. So what this workshop really is a doorway to becoming who you want to be. It's a doorway to creating a new life. And
I think it's to becoming who you really are.
Exactly.
Because if we're the change, you know, that old saying, be the change, if everything
yeah.
is, you know, everything is one large, you know, oneness, it's just where we choose to reside in frequency in that oneness. So if we're the change, then that frequency resonates out, and magnetically everything around you begins to change.
Yeah, that's true. And
Thank
so,
you.
And it gets more and more exciting the more responsibility you take. And people think that responsibility often means that you limit your freedom, but it's quite the opposite. The more responsibility you take, the more freedom you have. It's a strange dichotomy between the two.
I like that. So when do you feel that your book might be out?
Well, we're really going to start working. We're really going to start working on it in the first few months of the coming year, and I think that it'll probably be out by spring or summer of 16.
Great, thanks.
Sure.
I'm excited, so I'm going to pass that on.
Please do.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else want to share or have any questions for Richard? Or any questions for me?
Yeah. Ask Devin questions. She's good at answering questions. She's done a good job today. She's really been sharing a lot of good information, and she's done the workshop so many times, she's about ready to teach it, and she has a lot of insights and good things to bring to this, too, now.
Aw, thanks, Richard.
Well, sure. True. Well, what do you think, Devin? You think we've...
Does everybody feel... Here, I'm going to put everybody on speaker. Does everybody feel fulfilled with the workshop?
Well, why don't we... So maybe we should do a survey.
Okay.
How many, does anybody feel like we really should continue this further today, or you feel we could wrap it up? So put the hands down for a moment. So if we feel like it's complete, press 1. If you feel like we really should go on, press 2, because we're available for you for this time, but Yeah.
Let me see if Margaret has a question because she raised her hand, but otherwise everybody feels
complete at this point. Yeah.
Margaret, did you have a question specifically or?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I was just raising my hand.
Yes. So everybody who raised their hand is feeling complete with it at this point. So it is a little early, but as we know, there's many avenues you still have available, but I've conveyed the material and I really wish you all the best in using it now, and thank you so much for coming to this workshop.
Yeah, let's put everybody on speaker again. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Rick. Thank you, Devin.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
You are currently the only person in this conference.